Picture the scene in chapter 12. So many people are there sitting around, it says earlier on. They're stepping on each other. They're stepping over each other, virtually tripping over each other, all straining to hear him. They're trying to get close to him. The kingdom of God that Jesus is talking about is different. It's not what they've heard from their leaders. This isn't the kind of kingdom that they were told was going to happen. Something about this guy is different. He starts speaking directly to the disciples, and everyone seems to be listening in. And then all of a sudden, this guy comes in with this interjection about a family inheritance story. And Jesus, with his curly question, just immediately answers this guy. It's such a rich time of teaching and encouragement. Jesus answers with a response and a parable that maybe the questioner doesn't expect that kind of response at all. It's a brilliant response. But in responding to it, he describes a radical shift in the lifestyle demanded by the kingdom of God that he's come to initiate. The kingdom that he modeled. The lifestyle that he modeled by himself later on going to the cross and dying on our behalf. It's a brilliant little story, and I love the way that he just embeds the kingdom teaching in amongst all of the things he's dealing with. In 12 verse 22, he turns his attention back to the disciples and continues teaching about the kingdom of God. Don't worry about material things, he says. Don't be afraid. The things you treasure should not be earthly stuff, but heavenly kingdom values. Don't get so attached to earthly things. Make sure your heart is sold and focused on serving God. God has entrusted the kingdom of God to you, not to sit on it or to watch it, but to grow it, to extend it. I love that, how he says that. God gave us the kingdom of God. The kingdom is in your hands. I think it's a hint of the teaching that Jesus was to teach later in John 15, where he talks about the vine. We'll talk a little bit about that later. So this is a scene he's teaching the disciples and the people. This is a scene we come to as we come to our text for today. Teaching about the kingdom. What does the kingdom look like? What are you doing? Are you ready? 2 points that he makes in that reading. One, be watchful. And two, be faithful. Be watchful, have your heart ready to go, ready to serve. Be faithful, have your heart fully devoted to serving God. So the first point, be watchful. Be ready for Jesus' call. Call to serve wherever he needs you, wherever he needs us. In many ways, as I was reading this, it felt like he was a footy coach speaking to the team. Come on. Be ready. Be dressed and ready to go. And in that, he uses two social situations in this that the listeners would understand to bring home his point for kingdom citizens and stewards. He talks about the wedding banquet and the servants being ready to come and open the door for when the master comes for the banquet. It will be good for those servants, he says, whose master finds them watching when he comes. When he's good and ready to come, that they're ready to open the door and for him to come in. And then he does this earth-shattering, amazing thing and says, when the master comes in, he will put on servants' clothes and serve the servants. And that would have been a shock to his hearers. Now, there was this thing in the first century, in Roman culture, once a year, the master would serve the servants. It was called the Feast of Saturnalia or something. And so they kind of knew this would happen. But Jesus is talking about a whole lot of a different thing. He's setting a pattern for the kingdom. The kingdom means the master will serve. And if the master is doing that, I want you to do the same, to serve, to put on servants' clothes and serve. And it shocks his hearers. The kingdom of God is not going to be what you think. It's going to be much better, much more than what you think. So be watchful and ready. He flips the social convention on its head. The kingdom of God will be where the master serves a servant. Now, no doubt a few people raised their eyebrows at that, just like they did in Luke 4 when Jesus preached his first sermon in Nazareth. And he talked about reaching the prisoner, reaching the oppressed, opening the eyes of the blind and bringing light into darkness, and then declaring that he was the one that was promised. Well, they tried to run him out of town and throw him off a cliff. They didn't like him. But Jesus demonstrates a pattern for kingdom living here. The kingdom of God is characterized by humility and serving one another. It's brilliant. And the way that we do that is becoming not attached to our own things, but being willing to share, to give, to go. This is one of the core principles of the kingdom of God, the kingdom which challenges and confronts conventions around us. Be ready. Manage yourselves. Manage your time. Manage your relationships. Manage your possessions wisely so that you can welcome the King and grow the kingdom. Jesus came to earth to initiate the kingdom of God, but he left it in our hands to continue to grow it. He promised to be with us in Matthew 28, but he said, I want you to go and disciple, to grow the kingdom. Manage yourself so you are able to share the good news of the gospel in whatever situation you're in and wherever Jesus calls you to go. Today, you and I, as citizens of the kingdom of God and as stewards of this kingdom, Jesus' call reaches out to us. Are we open to receiving that challenge? Are we ready and watchful? Watchful for the master to come to our door and say, I'm ready. Are you ready? Are we ready to live our lives serving those around us and being prepared to respond to Jesus' call? Make sure our hearts are devoted to serving Jesus and expectant for his presence and ultimate return. The next point is to be faithful. And here Jesus gets even stronger. He said, kingdom citizens are faithfully performing their kingdom work. He gets quite strong in his language here, and the imagery, it's quite shocking to his hearers. In the middle of it, Peter says, Lord, are you telling us this, or is it for everyone? I love how that little typical kid in a class, isn't it? I've been teaching for 30-odd years, and you always have one of them. Is this for us? I wonder what Jesus did. Did he raise his eyebrows? Okay. He didn't miss a beat. He just keeps going. Kingdom citizens are faithfully performing their kingdom work. Jesus gets quite strong in his language. It almost seems as he doesn't acknowledge Peter, going on to emphasize another aspect of kingdom work. What should the stewards or citizens of the kingdom be doing? It's like he says, don't take your eye off the ball. There's that sport analogy. Don't keep focused. It's crucial, serious even. Again, he uses a familiar social story to make this point about servants and looking after each other and the servant ignoring the feeling like the master's gone. Oh, I can, you know, while the cat's away, the mice can play sort of thing. But he makes it forcefully. Being unfaithful, he says, being unfaithful to your calling as kingdom citizens has consequences. Consequences that might shock you. As if to qualify this, Jesus says these are servants who maybe were never truly kingdom citizens in the first place anyway. This is the extreme. But he uses it to make a point that stewards of the kingdom have work to do and must keep at it, not losing interest or pursuing avenues of self-interest, acting as if the kingdom didn't matter, ultimately showing that your heart is not Jesus-focused but self-focused. Jesus says, keep focused, keep your eye on me. What will happen if you don't? And he talks about being cut up. Ouch. This was unthinkable to people in those days, to have your body cut up and sent to all different places. It was just abhorrent to not even have a proper burial. It meant that it was kind of like tantamount to being saying, you're being kicked out of heaven and consigned to hell. Jesus is pretty forceful here. He's pretty serious. Kingdom work is crucial. Our role as citizens and as stewards is vital. He ends this little section by stressing the absolute importance that he places on our roles as kingdom citizens and stewards of the kingdom. We have been given an amazing gift, the gospel, a gift that has transformed us and that he wants us to share, building the kingdom in the process. And it says that, for everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. We've been entrusted with much. He asks us to share what we've been given. We have an amazing gift. Later in the text and in his earthly ministry, Jesus teaches his disciples just before he's going to die from John 15. And I spoke about that just a bit before, the vine metaphor. When I was in 2012, my wife and I were able to go to Israel to do a Bible study tour. And we talked about this story. Here, there is some sense of urgency in this story. I am the vine and you are the branches. Think about that. Where does the fruit come? The fruit comes from the branches. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. You have to bear fruit. Without you bearing fruit, the vine can't do its job. The vine is depending on the branches to share the fruit. Jesus is counting on us to bear fruit, to watchfully and faithfully work to build and care for the kingdom. Serving in the kingdom comes with a cost. It will come with a cost. It's not easy. Being faithful kingdom citizens means sacrifice, self-sacrifice, in many different ways. At Prison Fellowship, we have a course that Mike's running at the moment, an 8-week gospel course, teaching the gospel. Session 7, which Mike was about to run next week, but I'll take over for him. Session 7 is about the cost of discipleship. So session 6 is about following Jesus and the difference between, we talk about grace a lot in session 6, that there's nothing we can do to earn eternal life. And then session 7 says, if you want to follow Jesus, it comes at a cost. Following Jesus won't be easy. It's a serious calling. It's not just a little bit on the side. It's a life-changing, life-challenging thing to do. Being a kingdom servant is serious. It's a serious undertaking and involves a cost. In session 7 of that course, it talks from Mark 8, verse 34 to 38. He makes a similarly strong point. You want to be a kingdom citizen? Then deny yourself. Put Jesus first in your life. Pick up your cross, not just a little bump, but might mean rejection, persecution, and suffering, and follow Jesus. It's a lifelong commitment, following Jesus' teaching and his example. And he says in that same passage, if you're ashamed of Jesus, if you deny Jesus, we know the rest. What is the cost? The cost is dying to self. Dying to self-interest, focusing on God and his values. Maybe for some of us, this is a new concept, and we maybe have yet to do that. Does Jesus' life, teaching, and kingdom challenge and excite you? If you want to find out more, I'm sure there'll be people at the church here who'd be willing to share with you about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. Kingdom living and serving is life-changing. It's demanding and challenges our assumptions and maybe our conventions. But are we ready? Are we watchful for those calls, for that knock on the door from Jesus? Are we faithful? How are we going as citizens of the kingdom, as branches of God connected to the vine? How am I going as a citizen of the kingdom of God, as a branch connected to the vine? It's a question I ask myself. How am I doing? Am I hearing Jesus' call? Am I being watchful? Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this passage, for this word, and for this encouragement to be watchful and faithful kingdom citizens. Guide us, Lord, in our lives as we examine what we do with our funds, with our money, with our resources, with our time, that we would be ready to respond to you with whatever's needed at whatever time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.